Senate Committee on Revenue and School Finance, Agenda, February 17, 1981, 1:30 p.m., Hearing Room 137. General Fund Cash Flow, Gary Delaney, State Department of Treasury, Neil Sisher, Accounting Division, Executive Department.
Yes. Today we're going to talk about cash flow. And we have with us Mr. Delaney and Mr. Fisher. Mr. Delaney from the Treasury and Mr. Fisher from the Accounting Division of the Executive Department. Gentlemen, we, because of news reports about borrowing for general fund expenditures and the fact that the general fund has had to pay interest in order to make pay the obligations that were due, I thought it would be wise for the committee to at least examine that problem in relationship to different programs that this committee has handled and will handle, including the tax relief program. So with that, if you have prepared remarks on it, which one would like to start? Fisher?
Really not prepared, Mr. Chairman, in the sense I don't have a handout. Would like to share you some of our experiences in developing some of the information, where we came from and why. Maybe going into a little more detail as to what some of the real problems are, what the general fund really looks like. Gary Delaney can talk about the actual cash problems in the state treasury. About a year ago, several of us became concerned about cash flow, and we started having meetings of a group of people, including Rich Munns, Rick Burke from Legislative Fiscal Office, Paul Egger from the Executive Department, John Yunker, Deputy Director, was to at least one of them, Gary Delaney, myself, talking about what appeared to be a problem coming down the pike in some period of time, and that, of course, was a potential deficit in the general fund. And talking about it, we decided that one of the things that we really needed was to have some more information about where we've been and possibly where we were going in terms of the cash flow. So one of the things that we did first was to make a minor revision in our control accounting process, which is the warrant writing, the appropriation control system run by the Executive Department, where we monthly produce information that we can easily summarize and produce a report about the cash flow each month. And so we have then prepared a what we call a general fund cash flow report, talking about the different revenues, expenditures in the different pieces of the general fund, and I'll get into that in a little more detail here in just a moment. Made the decision to back up to July of 1978 so that we would have several years of information that we could then track to see where we've been and hopefully help to where we can go in the future. With those reports, and we do send them around to all of the people that I indicated were serving on ad hoc committee, if you will, and so that everybody would know what was going on. One of the things that I've done, just for my own benefit, is to put on a chart the interest earnings of the general fund, and you can see that the interest earnings bounces up and down like a yo-yo, and the reason for that is that the cash in the general fund goes up and down like a yo-yo.
What month is that where it hit the line, zero?
This was February of 79. Now, one of the things that may happen, and this information you'd have to understand is summarized from the cash basis information in control accounting. I don't want to point fingers at Gary or make any wild remarks or anything, but it may be that we just didn't get interest earnings posted that month for whatever.
That could have been the result of November
or
December.
Yes. A more critical one are some of these that would be down near the end. The bottom here is January of 81, and you can see that it's rapidly approaching the line. And Gary will get into that in a few minutes, talking about the cash position.
Senator Troll.
Yeah. I can understand perfectly well the concern about the general fund and cash flow. What about our other funds? Do we keep a pretty good check on them, too? Do we get that material?
Gas
funds and whatever else?
Mr. Chairman, one of the things that is different about other funds versus the general fund, and that is that the other funds are directly related to an operation of the agency, and they are looking at it daily, weekly, monthly themselves. The general fund is a little bit different because it's the people I've been talking about have to look at what's happening in the general fund. As an example,
The point I want to make is that we're equally as responsible for all the other tax measures, and we need to have that information at times, too, I think.
Absolutely.
To see how those funds are doing.
I have no disagreement. I think that, if I understand your question right, one of the things that's happened to the emergency board recently is that the executive department is reporting selected other fund revenues to the emergency board presently. That's been going for
about a year.
Year, up to a year, something like that. So it is.
Those, do they come to the general membership?
No, sir. Not now.
What was your answer?
We see them as a committee.
But my answer was that we try to have, in effect, the executive department in quarterly, either to the committee if it's in session, or if it's in the interim, to the interim committee on the revenue forecast. And when they present the revenue forecast report to the committee, that includes the non-general fund portion of their revenue report.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, I have drawn some things on the board that I would like to lead you through. I think might help explain some of this, too. Not everybody is aware of all of the pieces of the general fund, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that are in there. One of the things that information is not available to the executive department but is in the state treasurer's office is what we call suspense checking and suspense deposit accounts. And there are 200 plus or minus accounts in the state treasurer. Not all of those are general fund, but they do go into making up a piece of the general fund action. The biggest pieces would be the income tax collections from the Department of Revenue hit the suspense deposit accounts within the state treasurer prior to the time that they are receipted or the information is passed on to the executive.
Is that what suspense account means? Is it a temporary depository for things that are later going to be apportioned?
Yes.
To a variety of things?
That would be a suspense deposit. A suspense checking account would be the checks that Adult and Family Services writes to recipients and paying vendors. So there's two different examples of two different types of accounts. Another portion of the general fund is what we call receipted accounts, or where the dedicated cash in the general fund is being operated. And an example of this would be the executive department revolving fund. All of the operation of the executive department that is other funded, or most of it, goes through what we call a receipted account. Trying to think of some big accounts that are in there. Monies deposited to the Department of Motor Vehicles actually goes into a general fund receipted account, but because the monies are for subsequent turnover to the highway fund, we're even crediting the interest earnings on that part of the general fund to the highway fund. By law, it is still a cash account in the general fund. And normally, the total of this account, or all of these accounts, runs in the neighborhood of $120 to $150 million a month, and that is part of the general fund. When we talk about general fund in the normal sense, we're talking about where the general fund revenues go, and it's the amount appropriated for general fund, general governmental purposes. When you talk about an appropriation from the general fund, it's talking about the piece of the general fund over here, not from the receipted and not from the suspense account. But the thing that happens is that all of the interest earnings on all of it is credited to the general fund, with the exception of a few items like the motor vehicle, Western Oregon Severance Tax, Public Utility Commission, portion of that also. By law designated as part of the general fund, but as a result of the court cases and whatnot years ago on constitutional funds and interest earnings, we have to send that interest earnings to the highway fund. So when you talk about the general fund, there are really three pieces of it when we talk about. So now we get into the problem of why do we have a cash flow problem when there's this kind of money sitting in here and there's money flowing in and out of the suspense checking and the suspense deposit. Let's talk about a biennial period. 79-81, for sake of argument, is something like a $3 billion general fund appropriations for a 24-month period. Okay, when you budget it, the assumption is that the money is going to be there when you get ready to spend it. But remember that the largest amount of revenues come in sometime from January 1 to April 15th of each year. Okay, but the thing that's happening to us is that we make large distributions. A very big one that comes to mind is basic school support. Quarterly distribution starting clear back here on August 15th. August, November, February, and May. But we're spending or distributing to basic school this biennium $359 million in the first fiscal year and $391 million in the second fiscal year. That first distribution we have from July 1 to August 15th to come up with 25% of that first $359 million. So the thing that's happening to us is that we're spending money from July 1 to, say, January 1, and our biggest sources of revenue are between January 1 and April 15th. That kind of explains the problem. I think that in looking for solutions, I can talk about three, and I suppose there are more, but a real obvious one is decrease expenditures. Another real obvious one is increase revenues. Another possibility that I think that we'll really have to come to grips with is changing the pattern of how we spend the money. Now, the normal expenditure of agencies, I think you will find, is pretty well spread over a 24-month period. But you start talking distributions quarterly, $50, $60, $70 million all in one big disbursement. And so I think that smoothing out those distributions may be an option. At this point, perhaps Gary can relate to you some of the things that have happened in the cash part of the problem in the treasury.
Sorry, Gary said.
If we smoothed it out for the legislature or the state, we'd make it rough on some of the recipients, wouldn't we?
Yes, sir.
Does anybody have any figures as to what degree, or you know, like the schools and basic schools?
I don't have any figures, Mr. Chairman, but if you're talking about a quarterly distribution of $100 million?
Close to
$100 million, and we do it all in 1 month, I think that's what's happening is the school districts get the money.
Well, they're depending on it.
And they're depending on it, right. But they're also depositing it and taking the interest earnings until they spend it. Absolutely. So the question comes, do we need it at the state level to earn some interest, or are we going to continue continue to send it to the school district's terms of interest. And that's a very difficult question.
To the people of Oregon, it really wouldn't make much difference in the long run, would it?
Overall, to the state of Oregon.
Depending on who's getting the most interest. Do we get more than, does the state get more average interest than the schools?
Should be able to.
Should be able to, but I don't believe I could answer it for sure.
Senator Monroe?
One of the new programs that the special session brought about was the payment by self-employed people, in it, the advance payments, advance tax payments. And under that program, those people will pay semi-annually, although there's a quarterly payment in this first phase-in, but after that it'll be semi-annually. One of the questions, or one of the possible solutions or partial solutions to your problem that this committee will have to decide upon is whether or not that more properly ought to be a quarterly payment instead of a semi-annual payment. Could you speak to how that would affect your cash flow situation?
Mr. Chairman, I think the only comment I could make is that if you're getting the money in faster, then it has to help the cash flow. But I'm not involved in the cash or the revenue collection part of the Department of Revenue. I don't have anything to do with it, so I don't think that I could speak to it with a great deal of information.
Along that line, if we're getting $80 million, isn't that what that's going to bring in over a biennium? Isn't that what that's going to bring in?
Yeah.
That's about $10 million a quarter. So you get half of that, you'd get $20 million. So you'd get the quarter's interest at $10 million ahead, wouldn't you? Whatever that interest figure is, the state would gain.
Well,
see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, and also, the point I was trying to make is one of your big expenditures, of course, comes in late October with the tax relief payments.
Our program.
And that if we went to a quarterly situation, one of those quarterly payments would come the 1st of September, which would help. I mean, it's only $10 million, but it would... would help fatten the kitty a little bit for that that big outlay that you have in October.
But now we're getting it in July, so we get the $10 million plus the interest.
No, that's incorrect. I believe that what we're getting in June is the what we will be getting in June once we get on the phase in is the quarterly payment. If we went to quarterly, would be the quarterly payment from April 1 and or from March. And no, it'd be April from April
15.
Okay, from April. You get April's and June's all in June, and then you get September's and January's with filing.
Yeah, you only pick up that one quarter.
It would be a moving ahead in either case, and it would increase interest revenues to the state and so on, as well as the principal amount, which could be then used for that tax payment, property tax payment.
Senator Trump.
Yeah. Is there a cash flow problem?
Yeah.
You set up apparently some people to advise you about the cash flow. And if there is, tell me what the nature of the problem is. Is it a problem simply that we could be earning more money on the money in the general fund, or is it not having money available that we need it to expend it?
If we could, Mr. Chairman, I think that Gary could speak to what the real problem is in terms of general fund deficit.
Richard has a document here with a couple of sample days that I think will talk about that particular aspect of it, Senator. The general fund cash flow, this particular document starts with a statement of the actual cash overdraft that we experienced from a period of time in mid-November to about mid-December. And the point to be made about those particular figures, this average of $20 million and a low of $5 million and a high point or low point, depending on how you look at it, of $41 million, is that is, to refer back to the pie chart over here, this complete circle. It is the biennial revenue. It's the receipted accounts or the self-sustaining accounts. It's all of the suspense accounts. All of that money was gone. And in addition, another $40 million was gone, dispersed out to counties, cities, homeowners, wherever.
In the fall. $40 million.
Well, that's what this, just below that, I start with. I have three sample days on here. The first one is November 24th. And what I've tried to demonstrate here is where that money does come from, and the fact that, I guess, first of all, there was no near calamity or anything of that sort from a state cash flow basis. That is, we always had sufficient funds to pay all obligations as they come due, and continue to have. The reason for that is that we have something referred to as the Oregon Short-Term Fund, which is the first figure there of $790 million on that particular day. That is, in effect, the pooled cash balances of all funds and accounts in the state treasury. It includes the general fund. It includes many others. Several of the major ones are documented below there in arriving at that $790 million figure that we had available. The first one, local government investment pool, is a part of that total cash. On that date, it was $297 million. The veterans program had $270 million available on that particular day. That was awaiting disbursement for various purposes. It was also a part of building up a reserve account that they are currently engaged in. The highway and motor vehicle department, various funds and accounts total $47 million. Some of the other investing funds, retirement fund, state accident insurance fund, had $66 million on that particular day. That, in effect, is the cash balances of those funds that are awaiting permanent investment separately for those funds. But while they're in a cash state, that is, the fund thinks of them in a cash state, that total cash is all invested in this thing called the Oregon Short-Term Fund. All others had another $122 million. And to arrive back at the balance of $790 million, there was a general fund overdraft on that particular day of $12 million. Now, the $12 million simply came ratably from all of the other participants in the pool that day. The a further breakdown below.
Excuse me, the $12 million came out of the $790?
Well, the $790 was available. The other funds and accounts up above, I think you would find total $802 million. So they had we had credit balances on the books of $802 million, but had to disperse $12 million on behalf of the general fund. And therefore, we took that $12 million from anybody that was participating in the pool on that particular day.
Senator,
to extend that a little bit further, would there ever be a circumstance where one of the all others might have been $10 million short, too?
Absolutely.
Sure.
There can, and
really,
and
no great catastrophe if the general fund account happened to be low.
Well, that's correct. However, I think, and we can talk about that if we talk about a couple of other days here, but one of the things we would like to make the committee aware of is that there is no certainty that these balances will remain as they are.
Right.
That is, they're substantial balances. They're, for a variety of reasons, that happen to be substantial sums there in vets, for instance, in some of the investing funds who happen to have cash balances because the market maybe wasn't just right for permanent investing at that point. Several reasons that that contribute to the fact that we had a substantial cash pool available. But I think one of the points is that there is no guarantee that that money is and will continue to be always available. And therefore, it's important that the general fund be isolated and maintained fiscally sound and on a biennial basis, that revenues and expenditures are matched.
So the Oregon Short-Term Fund ever have no money at all?
No.
It always has something, some of these things.
Yes.
What's the average balance in it?
Probably $600 to $700 million. It has been as high as $1 billion. It I would say, has a low point of maybe $400 to $500 million. Although, again, that I would say is gradually coming down over time.
That money is adjusted in some ways. It's just easily.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically in money market, commercial paper. It's a liquid fund with something over $400 million maturing within 90 days, $400 to $500 million. A further breakdown below that of this general fund overdraft to try and demonstrate where that figure comes from are the remaining numbers down below there. The general fund on the state treasurer's books, which to refer back to Neil's chart over here, are the lower two pieces, that is the biennial revenues and the what are titled the receipted accounts of 120 to 150. On our books, that figure was a negative $165 million on that particular day. What offsets on the other side are the suspense accounts, principally, again, the revenue account is shown here of $133 million, which is money that's been deposited in the bank, it's been credited to revenue, but has not yet been distributed, principally to the general fund, although there are some other monies they have received and flow through to other people, too. And then, in addition, some other accounts totaling $20 million. If you refer to the second page, it's simply two more dates to try and give you that same sort of picture. One in December, at one of the low points of this overdraft, December 9th, where the general fund overdraft was $39 million on that particular day, out of a total pool of $713 million. You can see that the money came from, again, about the same sources. The old government pool, VET still had substantial balances. Highway, trust funds still had quite a bit of money. And then this general fund overdraft of $39 million. The final day is our current position, that is, as of last Friday's close of business, where the short-term fund is about $729 million. Again, local government pool has 130 of that. Veterans still has a substantial sum, although that is beginning to be invested separately to establish a reserve fund for veterans to enable them to set aside a 1 year's debt service reserve. The other monies are still there. The general fund, as you can see, has $131 million. But again, it's talking about this total circle up here. That is, all funds and accounts are $130 million. The general fund itself on our books is a $76 million overdraft. However, there's money in revenue to the tune of $169 million, all of which together leaves us with $131 million as the general fund figure. However, if you look at the other, as Neil's explained there, the $120 to $150 million is expected to be there apart from any current biennium revenue versus expenditure problem. So we probably always should have something in the neighborhood of $130 million. Basically, what it means is we don't have any current revenue on hand, and yet we have $100 million basic school support payment to meet. In fact, was probably meant today. The transfer went out, which means, in short, that the general fund is going to suffer again until April sometime. To try and, I guess, make one more point about the balance.
Will it be suffering to the point that you'll be borrowing?
I would say probably not.
Okay.
What
kind of interest are you paying when this happens to the vets and the highway and the first?
It was in the month of December, the average was 13.6. In the month of January, it's about, in that period of time, it was, say, 13.6.
I read a figure somewhere where the total at some point was $187,000 in interest paid out.
That's correct.
It was that.
It's a reverse sort of thing. We put all interest into the general fund, and then we transfer out to those people that participate in the pool. And the effect was that we would have transferred out more than we transferred in over that particular period of time.
Okay. Say this again, so I'm sure I'm hearing squarely on this. Even when we borrow the money from ourselves from the other sources. We pay interest, whatever the going rate is.
That's right. Whatever that total pool of money is earning at that particular time.
Senator Trump?
Are all the other accounts represented in the short-term fund or the short-term fund? Or are there other sources?
There are no other sources of cash. This is the daily operating funds of the state treasury. The other point I guess I wanted to make about the balances was this one of trying to isolate the one piece of the pie over there, the one with the X, which again is this a biennium's revenue versus expenditure, that if you isolate the negative figures that are involved in a biennial stream, and you go back to Executive Department prepared reports, this general fund cash position report, which prepared each month, you'd find that a year ago, in 79, at the end of November, there was a $100 million negative position, that is current revenues versus expenditures in this biennium. It stayed negative from December on through March, from $50 to $60 million negative. Finally went positive in April.